Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Having some great participation from the listeners today as we roll through a Tuesday in the big city.
Can we talk about Pikmin Get Me Mike having his own icon?
Yes, please.
Why on earth would he tweet that at us?
I don't know.
I just found that to be strange.
He has a tendency to show off a little bit.
He replied to something we said. He said, when did Tuesdays become... Okay, I don't want to read all that, but it's talking about WOD.
Did you
work out of the day?
You decide to just edit that on the fly?
No, I caught some judgment at the last second. I was going to read it because he read it, but then I was like, nah, that's too far, so I stopped myself. But then he tweets us a picture of himself, an emoji of himself.
Is it himself?
That's a very inaccurate emoji.
Is it himself or is it a...
See, and y'all say I'm the jerk on this show. Tell me why it's inaccurate, Nick. Why is it inaccurate?
Is it a workout goals emoji or is it himself?
See? Why
emojis can be overweight too. Be accurate about your emoji. The dude looks like he's 35 pounds. Michael is not 35 pounds.
Boy. Give or take a zero.
I'm just saying. If I got to get my own emoji now, it's got to have man boobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No. That's why I'm not getting my own.
Hopefully it's
emoji.
Shaped like a bulb.
See?
Pear shape.
Now you're going to start putting that on me.
Yep.
I see how you are.
I have an emoji. I think it's accurate. You want to see it?
What is it?
It's just bald.
It's just a bald emoji? Do you get
the
this
beard
from your
is
phone?
A bit inaccurate.
Do you get this from your phone?
Yeah, iPhones basically.
You take a picture of yourself?
No, it's an emoji.
I know, but
no,
does
but
it?
How
does
do they?
It,
how do they form the emoji? Yeah. How do they get the characteristics?
You can choose it, but it's kind of they give you like one by default as well.
Really?
On iPhones, not Androids, not sorry phones.
Does mine not iPhones. Do this?
I'm pretty sure the Android does it. I'm just playing, but iPhones has been doing it at least ever since the last update.
Really, I need to get my own,
or maybe two do updates.
No, really.
You don't.
I mean, I want to see what the
like
filters
when you're
are.
Busting someone's ass on Twitter. It's a lot better when it's just the words. If you're gonna bust someone's
like
ass
Jacob's
and then
stupid ass today,
yeah, and then you're gonna put your little Twitter emoji, and I'm like, ass. No,
yeah, don't just post your
don't make child's play
just
out
take
of
your shot.
Mincemeat when you're hammering people.
Just take your shot. You don't need to post some cute emoji of yourself, you narcissist.
Yeah, in 1983 what? Himself.
Right? What kind of narcissist is just out here tweeting emojis of themselves?
You know he's got his own children's book coming out at the end of the year.
No, he doesn't.
No, of course he doesn't. But he could with that little cartoon character.
That's crazy.
Pick Me Mike.
Sorry, bud.
Walks
you
the
started
dog.
That, it's, though.
The first book is Pick Me Mike Walks the Dog.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Josh wants to get in here. Amazingly, he wants to talk Spurs. That's shocking.
Is this
to me.
El Jefe?
Yeah. What's up, Joel?
Hello, Jeef.
Trey's dad.
What's up, man?
What's up, Manny?
Hey, nothing much. I don't watch a lot of basketball, unfortunately, so I don't really. I wasn't watching Carmelo in the at the YMCA, so I don't have a good take on it. I don't know if you guys do either. Maybe Tom can call in and answer later. But where are the Spurs at? Like at this point, what is it? Just like do they just give up and tank, or do they like because they'll be. They'll beat the Clippers by 10 points, and then they'll lose to Detroit by 34. Is this kind of the end of the Pop era? Or, I mean, are they retooling for to get somebody in the draft? Do they trade DeMar DeRozan? I kind of feel a little hopeless, like the Rockets fans have felt before.
I don't think they feel hopeless. I think you think they feel their Rockets fans are hopeless. They're still hopeful here in Houston. But I think in terms of your Spurs.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of basketball, El Jefe. But I think in terms of your Spurs, I think you are never completely starting over with Popovich. I think that when you think about the fact that there are teams, Miami has interest in both Aldridge and DeRozan. And so, and DeRozan, I believe, can walk after this year or the next year. So you've got guys that if they do, you got a great nucleus of young pieces that can continue to build and grow in San Antonio. I don't think DeMar DeRozan's the right fit. I think Aldridge is way past his prime. So I think there's some things that you got to wait out and see how they play out.
So you're saying blow it up and start over.
I think those two guys could go by the trade deadline. One, if not both of them. And I know what you're doing over there.
What on
Nick,
earth
way to
kind
go.
Of whack-ass emoji did my phone create for me?
Nick, this is the thing. He's got like, if a bird flew by with tinfoil, he's got that kind of ADD. You just planted the seed. And I
know. No, he was already distracted before I sent him anything.
I don't know if this is the default.
Send me that, screenshot that and send it to me.
Kiss my ass. This is the stupidest looking emoji. Why am I wearing capri pants in an emoji?
Do you really have capri pants?
I saw him taking his picture.
Do I not have capri pants on in this emoji?
It looks like Barry Jonas is the illegitimate Jonas brother. I mean,
Barry's like, at least give me some skinny jeans. Damn.
Right? I mean, at least put me in some man skinny jeans.
Give me a Forever 21 shirt.
He took a picture of Barry and got B2K out of it. I mean,
why sailor pants?
Why do I look like Jay Leno from the side with that big ass chin?
Bro, wow.
Send that to me.
Kiss my ass. This better be the default.
Maybe you should put the glasses on and try it again.
Oh, you can change the hair. What on earth? This doesn't make any sense.
Why do you have so much hair?
I don't know. See, I tried to create my own, and that was a disaster. We'll do that again at a break, because that didn't work
out. That would be a better idea than you would have in the middle of answering El Jefe's question. I see you, like, smiling, taking selfies. I'm like, what's he doing over there?
By default, Joel, how much does he look like he weighs? By default, the emoji.
Oh, the emoji looks like a prepubescent child.
Yeah, it was not even close.
No.
Yeah. It was no, like, the chin. I had a jawline.
So tack on two bills to that. Three bills to that.
For me?
Yeah.
What are you?
Okay.
It's got to be proportional.
This is going to come out. It's just going to be Louis the lightning bug. You know how it was shaped like a bulb? That's going to be yours. Like, it's just you with wings.
I mean, mine was pretty accurate, with an exception of the beard and the lack of the horn. It's pretty accurate emoji.
Was it bald?
It was bald, yeah.
Really?
I sent it to you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Both of us?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, Joel, you got to create yours.
No, I don't.
Boy.
I don't do all that.
But I only have a head emoji, though. It doesn't really have a full body emoji like yours.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Well, before that, you had the DeAndre Hopkins Halloween costume as your emoji.
That wasn't my emoji. That was my Twitter profile picture for a while. Yeah.
I need to try that again, because that wasn't even close.
Yeah, Nick's is pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But the thing is, I didn't pick that. Like, how did they know I was bald?
They've been stalking you for quite a while.
That is creepy.
Like, I guess they look at your images and they can just kind of tell. Like, there's some sort of software that can tell that you're.
I don't know. That's
whatever software that Michael.
Nick, I hate to break it to you. They're not just listening to you. They're watching your every move.
Yeah, I don't trust these phones either. I feel
are
like
you
they're
do
recording.
One?
No.
Why?
Because I think it's dumb.
Okay.
Yours should be one-legged.
The fact that you just did your. Yeah,
one-legged.
That's right. Yeah. Mine will be like a pogo stick. I just watched you do that. And I'm like, okay, let's see how accurate this is. And what I saw come out of that is an experiment I don't need to partake in.
Not even close.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that wasn't even close at all.
Now, is it better for you to do it without glasses?
I don't know.
I don't either, but that was an experiment, like I said, that was not worth being a part of.
Why is this? Okay. What is the hell is? I don't know. This is weird.
So much for doing it during the break.
Yeah.
So we've got basketball out of the way with Melo and the Spurs. If you care, and I know it sounds like a lot of you guys do, but the power rankings out also in the NBA, so we'll just wrap the segment up with that if you're interested. Your Rockets had been on quite a roll. Milwaukee, by the way, won their 12th game in a row last night, so there are some teams on some streaks. Therefore, Bucks won. 17-3. Lakers 2, also 17-3. Clippers 3, Nuggets 4, Celtics 5, and your Rockets 6. Fair? Accurate?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? We talk about teams all the time.
Is it true? Because Milwaukee only lost one game last month, right?
They're 17-3, and they've won 12 in a row, so it's quite possible. Yeah.
I think they only lost one game, so that's fair to put the Bucks at number one, I feel like.
Yeah, and again, just and like everything else.
But, I mean, if you did it based on who you think would win if they played, you think anybody's beating the Lakers? Are they not the best team?
I think the one team that could beat the Lakers is the Bucks? Right in the backyard. Nope.
Clips?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think your championship's going to be decided between the two teams in L.A. Just look at the depth of both teams. I keep going back
That's
to this.
That's the scary part.
But, yeah, I look at the Rockets deep. And I say, and I said, I started the year by saying, hey, look, with all these duos that are really good, and we mentioned Portland and L.A. and both L.A. teams and the Rockets and teams like that, it comes down to, it starts with who's your third best player and then who's your supporting cast. Clippers are deep.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers' third best player, if it's Lou Williams or it's Montrez, who, you take your pick. The fact that you've got multiple choices for that,
right,
that are all like 20-point scorers, look, the Clippers are deep. So are the Lakers. They're veteran-laden teams. I just don't see the Rockets the having the compelling pieces around them.
The Bucks are scary because not only can they score, but they can defend as well. And I mean, Bucks and the Rockets, the only team scoring 120 a game, but the Bucks actually play defense.
Crazy thing last night was when the Bucks annihilated the Knicks, they had eight. I think they scored 80 in the first half.
It's crazy.
80 points. Because I keep watching them, and when I don't watch basketball much. But when I was watching them, the thing that was crazy to me is Adetokounmpo is so rough around the edges in terms of his shot, and he misses a lot of shots. But the thing that no one can defend is he's so long, and he's so rangy and strong. He'll miss the first time. He'll bring it back in. He doesn't even have to take a half step, and he is punching that thing at the rim, and no one has a chance of stopping it. Now, I think in the playoffs, it's a lot of what we talk about with Harden. Can you create a defense that just says, we're going to double team him and make everybody else beat us?
Yeah, and force him to shoot, not give him anything in the low block.
He has worked on his three because I've seen him make more and take
really?
More, okay. Which is surprising to me, but I still don't think it's anywhere near where it needs to be in order to be like, you know, a championship caliber MVP, you know, MVP shooter in the playoffs.
I don't think he'll ever get there, though, do you?
I think he could.
Really?
I've seen Gary Payton and Jason Kidd come into the NBA without a jump shot. And like in the case of Jason Kidd, he came in and had just an awful jump shot. He finished at top three in three-point shooting
in
his career.
Yeah, but those are guys that the position tends to lend itself to learning.
But if you put enough work in.
I don't know that Giannis's position, because of his height and his length.
But think about all the different guys that had areas of their game that was lacking. And when they went in the offseason and really. Kobe was a guy that really focused on his low post. He worked with Dream. You know, LeBron followed his and went down and said, with the body that he has, even though he was playing a lot on the wing and playing a lot with the ball in his hands, he really focused on becoming having a low post shooter as part of his arsenal. I think if Adetokounmpo works on it and he works with the right people, I'm not saying he's going to be a great shooter, but look, Jason Kidd was third in career three-point shooting in the NBA.
Yeah.
That never should have happened the way he came out of Cal.
That's true.
So
was not a good
it
shooter.
It is possible. So we'll see what happens. All right, there's some NBA talk for you. We'll continue to roll on. If you have legitimate, good conversation, call us, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listen Line, or you can text that number or tweet us as we continue to roll on. It's a Tuesday right here in Houston on The Usual Suspects.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you about Get Upside. I'm loving this app, and if you are not using the app, you are crazy. Somebody wanted to know, like, how do you get $600 in the Get Upside app? Because I'm telling you guys, the money is legit and the money is real, right? And I've got listeners that are sending me screenshots where they've got $600 in their account. And people want to know, because some of you guys maybe aren't getting that kind of money. There's several different ways you can get cash back through the Get Upside app. One of them is through when you fill it up your tank. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon over 500 gas stations. The other one is food. You can get up to 35% cash back every time you eat out and use the Get Upside app. But there's a third way you can make money through the Get Upside app. And that's referring your friends. Just like you hear me tell you my promo code is Barry, and then you sign up with that, and that's going to get you a nice little bump when the first time you use it to put gas in your car. You also can get a promo code and give that to your friends, and then they sign up, and you can get paid when they get paid. So there's a ton of different ways for you to make money through the Get Upside app, but I implore you to give it a shot. Just try it. And if you don't like it, you're not locked into anything long term. You don't have to use it. But if you love money and you love keeping money in your pocket, you're going to love the Get Upside app. So do yourself a favor right now. Go to your app store, whether it's iTunes or Google Play. Download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
The This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you guys being suspects. This time, legitimate breaking news, not New Edition choreography. But news out of the NFL, as a lot of people were thinking between Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens, it might be a race to who will lose their job first, but it will be neither. As news has come out of the Carolina Panthers organization that Ron Rivera has been relieved of his duties as the head coach of the Panthers. This goes hand in hand with the fact that owner David Tepper came out a week or so ago and had said that he is not going to accept mediocrity long term, which a lot of people then started basically hypothesizing and guessing might involve Cam Newton not having a career after this year with the Panthers. But they also started pointing the finger that Ron Rivera might be under the microscope if they don't make the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. And now it is announced that he is out, and secondary coach Perry Fuel has been named interim head coach.
Yeah, and it's weird because they have Norv Turner on staff, but they didn't make him the interim head coach, right?
With experience too, but Norv Turner has been transitioned from offensive coordinator to special assistant to the head coach. And here's where it pays to have genetics.
Okay.
His son Scott Turner is now going to be the offensive coordinator.
Oh, wow.
This is kind of like Belichick. You see Belichick's kid who looked like he just got out of an overpass?
Looked like
out
Joe
from
Dirt.
Under an overpass with a dip in. He's their secondary coach, and they couldn't stop focusing on him the other night. But I tell you what, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's the Cinderella story of all that in terms of he's doing some things. But, boy, it doesn't hurt to have some bloodlines.
No, and that what's amazing is that all those offensive guys got promotions because they fired Ron Rivera. That's not a good offense. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is that offense. And they've only scored 280 points. That's barely above the Falcons in their own division.
Sure,
right? They've given up 320 points. That's a lot of points to be given up for a defense right now through this point in the year. That there's a lot of trouble in Carolina, and a lot of it had to do with, I mean, you lose Cam, you know, your
with
offense
an injury, but yeah, now.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Obviously, the decisions that have to be made are. Is he your guy, or are you cutting bait and just saying, okay, we're going to save the 19 mil, and whether you decide that you're going to go with Allen or not, that it seems like what this says is, going back to what the owner, Tepper, had said previously, it seems like he got the team, he bided his time and just watched how everything was unfolding, and now he's going to just clean house and get his people in there.
That's, yeah, it appears that that's what's going to happen, which, yeah. I mean, offensively, They weren't doing great, you know. I mean, the 280 points I mentioned, they're averaging, what, 20? Let's see here. They're averaging 23 points a game. But now that I look at it, that's more than half the league. That's better than half the league.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like the offensive guys kind of got a pass. Whereas, let's see where their defense ranks. Bottom 10.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, they're the eighth worst defense, giving up 26 points a game. But all the offensive guys got promotions. That makes no sense to me.
It seems like, look at their defense. Yeah. They retread a lot, yeah. Right? They bring in guys that had success in other places that might be on the downside of their career, and they try and make them, you know, cornerstones of a one-year or a two-year fix. And you know, they're just, to me, don't waste the years of Christian McCaffrey.
That's the thing. I mean, you're not getting good defense. Your offense really isn't that great as it should be. But you also lost your starting quarterback. But there's questions: is Cam falling off? Is he going to even come back? Is it Allen's job going forward? With all that, though, I mean, they've vastly underperformed since their peak.
Absolutely.
And there's no doubt about that. And he probably should have been on the hot seat, but I don't know why you fire a guy mid-season like that, but
I feel like it probably is that he's been afforded a little bit of the leash since the Super Bowl appearance three seasons ago.
Yeah.
But I was looking back at his record since him being a head coach with the Panthers. He's had more below 500 seasons than he's had above 500 seasons. And so, I mean, if you start going back to 2011, 6-10, 7-9, 12-4, 7-8, 15-1, 6-10, 11-5, 7-9 last year, and then what they have now. He's had a bunch of below 500.
The 15-1 people forget about, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a hell of a
real quick.
That was a hell of a run that didn't end right.
Right.
Now, granted, this is their remaining schedule: Falcons, Seahawks, Colts, Saints. Chances of them going 2-2 in that, probably pretty good. That's another 7-9 season.
Yeah.
That's not great, but I guess it's like, well, we'd rather be as bad as possible to move up in the draft.
Yeah, at this point, maybe they should be trying their damnedest to lose all four games just to get whatever pick they can get. Because if you're not going to playoffs, if you're not getting in, then you should be as low as possible. That's just the way they should go. And the ownership quietly behind the scenes should probably be enforcing that.
Yeah.
Probably should. I think their mentality, you're right, they should completely change. And maybe they were just holding on because they thought, you know, well, we made the appearance three seasons ago. We're probably not too many players away from another Super Bowl appearance. And now maybe that mentality needs to change to where, you know what, we start from scratch.
And to my point, too, you look at the guys that they brought in. Don Terry Poe, older player from the Chiefs till he got hurt. He's on IR. Gerald McCoy, who was all pro when he was with the Buccaneers, but he ain't that anymore. They brought him in on a one-year deal. You know, you got Bruce Irvin, who was part of the Legion of Boom, but he isn't there anymore, and he even spent a couple more years with the Raiders. They brought him in. I think you're wasting two really, really good players on either side of the football. Luke Kuechly is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey is going to be in the prime of his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, you still had a good tight end in Greg Olsen, too, who obviously had injuries over the years, but he's better than average.
Yeah.
But overall, you've never really had, you know, obviously Cam wouldn't say it out loud, but he's always kind of quietly been wanting better receivers. You had Steve Smith towards the end of his career.
After Steve Smith, they really haven't had.
Yeah. But overall, this just reeks of an owner that's saying, it's okay, I've seen it, and it's time. We'll press the reset button.
But it's weird, though. I mean, again, it's weird that you don't punish anybody on that defense. I mean, so the offensive guy has got a promotion, and the offense hasn't been great, but based on the numbers, they're still middle of the pack, so they're not horrible.
Right.
But defensively, how is nobody on that defense losing their job?
Eric Reed, too. The fact that he was, you know, with the Niners, he was out of football for a few years. He played decent last year, but there's another guy, retreads. I mean, at some point, I can get that if that's a veteran team on the cusp of competing for a title. And you're going to go, you know what? That's a guy that gives me experience in the backside of the defense, can be a quarterback in the secondary. I like that.
Yeah.
But because you look at what the record you guys were reeling off, they've been middle of the pack mediocre. Stop spending money on these guys.
Jefe says, so is this going to be a situation where they try another run with Cam? Or do y'all think they start fresh with a new QB and new head coach?
I think he's gone.
I think Cam's gone as well. I think that this is, all right, we're starting over.
I told you.
We got there. Let's start over.
I told you a month ago I thought Cam Newton would be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears next year.
Okay.
And regardless of whether it's in Chicago or somewhere else.
You also told me Kirk Cousins
was done. I think
he's
gone. What? I said what?
You said Kirk Cousins was done.
I didn't say he's done. Trash. He's going to play.
Garbage.
I just said that the reason why that franchise
is. He said he sucked.
Are you done now? Because I don't watch football either.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I don't watch football.
I mean,
I don't watch basketball.
All you do is watch Packer games. That's for sure.
And Badgers. I mean, I think how the Badgers are getting screwed out of being in the college football playoffs.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Get out of here.
All right, before we go to break, let's get Clarence in here. Clarence, what's up? You want to talk Panthers? You don't care. They're not. You're just another team your Saints can beat up on. Clarence.
Hello,
Clarence.
Three.
Oh, there we go.
That was my bad. My bad, Clarence.
All right. Here's a quick question. I hear what you guys are saying. So do they shut down McCaffrey for the year?
I would. Again, like I said, if you're not going to be first, you might as well be last. And if you're not going to make the playoffs, then you might as well get the highest draft picks possible instead of shooting yourself in the foot for next year. And regardless of what McCaffrey is, you know what he is. You know what he can do. And you know how much wear and tear a running back that touches the ball as much as he does gets. I absolutely would shut him down.
Yeah, a 5'11", 200-pound running back that, you know, seems undersized but doesn't run like it,
doesn't perform like it.
It probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to, at least if you're not going to shut him down and just say and tell the world that you quit, limit his touches, right? I would slowly phase him out of the passing game or the running game, whichever. But you can't allow this kid to do both and continue to get beat up for nothing.
This screams plantar fasciitis. It back. Really does.
Stiff back.
Yep. So right? Either one
stiff
of them.
Back. Nothing you can week, really but definitively look at. It's just, I got a stiff back.
Jets just did it with Jamal Adams. He's week to week with a tweak of the back. So we'll see how it goes. No, I absolutely would shut it down. And now here's another question for you.
I wouldn't blame them if they did.
Does Ron Rivera's name now surface in Dallas as a possible replacement for Jason Garrett?
No,
I don't
way.
Think so either.
I don't think so.
He'll be considered because he'll be a good, I mean, if you're in that retread mentality, they'll at least give him an interview, I think. But I don't know if he'll.
I mean, because he's a defensive-minded guy.
Not that particular team. I'm just saying a team in general.
I also think he's not one that's going to put up with a lot of the Jerry Jones antics.
Probably not.
I don't think he's going to give in and just roll over like Jason Garrett does with Jerry Jones. And it's interesting. I got a little...
Clarence texted, too. I don't know, but he said, I'm watching on Twitch, and I don't know if it's the sweater or what, but Joel's looking jacked. You looking jacked over there, buddy?
You know, I've been doing curls during the break, so I wanted to make sure if I was going to do the emoji... I was going to be rocked up. So
nice.
I wanted Nick to give me those eyes that only the Greek freak and the manimal get. That's what I wanted. You know what else you should want? You should want the best energy company out there. That's Infuse Energy. I switched 3 years ago. You could too. Lots of listeners, P. Randizzle, others have switched. They called. They asked. I got them hooked up with Josh Pesikoff. They're enjoying the benefits of Infuse Energy. It's a locally owned and operated company that's focused 100% on the customers. That means that they are going to give you the best possible customer service and try and find the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. It's all about making sure that it's like a friendship and not a business transaction. They're going to be 100% honest. They're going to make sure that they ask you as many questions as you ask them, and they're going to pinpoint the best deal and the best rate they could possibly give you. Check them out, infuseenergy.com, or you can call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and they'll take you through the entire process. It's also 100% green energy at your fingertips. You can sign up and choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, helps decrease your carbon footprint, so you're doing something good while they're doing something good for you. Simply put, they have a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best you can get. So check them out. I'm telling you, you're not going to be disappointed. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Nick and Joel. Barry's still jacking around with his emoji, and he's again not happy. He tried the glasses approach. That still didn't go over very well. So
the stupidest thing ever.
While he continues to fiddle with his cartoon imagery, I will let you know that it is the start of the 12 Days of Giving. The station, if you haven't missed Courtney's pretty face on social media, letting you guys know that we are starting this little deal with 12 straight days of giveaways. Are you really going to do it again?
Just do your read. Don't worry about me.
We're celebrating early. So our 12 days of Christmas all benefit you. So today we're giving away tickets to the Battleground 2K19 tournament. Wednesday, December the 18th at the Toyota Center. It is a fiasco. No, it is a fun, beautiful triple header of college basketball. That if you have a fiasco going on around the house and you want to get away before the holidays, get on down to Toyota Center because you could see three great college basketball games. We're going to take caller 12 right now. 713-780-3776. Caller 12 wins a pair of tickets. As you see the triple header, that features Baylor. It features Oregon State, South Florida, UTSA. And it's going to be a great way for you to see basketball for a full day on December the 18th. So check it out. Of course, if you don't win the tickets, you can also buy them at battleground2k.com. That also has all the game information and all the tickets that are available. But check it out. Caller 12 right now. You can win a pair. 713-780-3776. Little Christmas giving early right here on ESPN 97.5.
Do it.
You done now?
Good luck.
So you went glasses this time. You still weren't pleased.
No, I'm not. I give up. I don't know how this works. It's trash. It's garbage. It's not nearly as good as the iPhone one. It exists, but it's not. It doesn't.
Now you're feeding right into Nick.
Well, you have to, like, it doesn't just take your picture and then convert it into emoji. It just takes your picture, but then it goes, oh, you're a white guy. And then it just gives you some random ass emo looking white guy in capri pants. Then, oh, how do you even know?
With the glasses, at least that's your signature move, right? Bro, it gets closer.
That looks nothing like me.
Yeah, it does when you were 12.
I don't have that much hair. No, this is crap.
Way to go, Nick. You've completely distracted him for the entire show, and he's not getting the results he likes. So it's basically over. Thanks. Appreciate it.
He'll figure it out after the show. He looks like he's given up. So after four, he'll probably do it all over again.
I'm not doing that anymore.
No video game time for you tonight, bro.
Why?
Work on that emoji.
No, I don't think so. I'm done with that stupid emoji. Somebody wants to know, are the Saints the team to beat in the NFC?
I think it's wide open, man. I really think that when you look at it, it's kind of like the parody in the NBA with the Warriors not having the super team anymore. You look at it and you say, look, as I mentioned, I mean, you look at all the teams that are 10-2. There's not one clear-cut team. Everybody could say the Ravens. But look, I mean, come playoff time, there's going to be a lot more defensive scheming towards specifically Lamar Jackson and then trying to make, you know, as Belichick does well in the playoffs. He does it to some degree in the regular season, but in the playoffs, when he tries to take, you know, the thing that you do best away from you, I mean, I think that there's a lot still to be determined. You had a Chiefs team that was without Mahomes for a good portion of the early part of the season that are getting back, but we know there's questions with their defense. Saints also had injuries. They survived them early on, but they've been hot and cold. They lost to the Falcons when you thought that they were going to get on a roll. Alvin Kamara hasn't looked like he looked like at the start of the year. The Niners, one week they're the best team in football, and the next week you're like, does Jimmy G have enough to get them through it?
Yeah, we're saying that because they lost to the Seahawks and the Ravens, and they still have the Saints and the Seahawks again and the Rams.
So a lot still to be determined.
So yeah, we're going to find out because, you know, the Saints don't necessarily have it easy because they still have to play the Niners and a good, not great, but a good Titans team, and I think the Colts and the Panthers. So the Saints don't have as big of a test as San Francisco does because they have to play the Seahawks. But, you know, the Seahawks also don't have it easy. They got the Rams and the Niners coming up as well. I don't know, but I know that you can't discount what San Francisco has done to this point.
You can't.
Nobody has scored more or given up less in the NFC, especially among the elite teams, which is right now it's the Niners, the Saints, and the Seahawks. No one has scored more or given up less than that Niners team. So don't sleep on them just because they got beat.
No, and I agree with that, but I also have I still have reservations about Jimmy G come playoff time and executing in big. But you're absolutely spot on with what you've put on the table for an argument for the Niners. I'll stick with what I said before the season started, and then after they endured Drew Brees being out for a month, the way Teddy Bridgewater played, the Saints, personnel-wise, experience-wise, and coaching staff-wise, I think top to bottom were the team that I thought at the start of the year was going to be the best team in the NFC. So I'll stick with that. But obviously, I see your argument with the Niners. And look, Kyle Shanahan, as good as his dad was, how he is in terms of being the modern day guru of offense. What he is able to do and then the personnel that he's got that can orchestrate it to a certain level with the speed of the running game, with the fact that, look, they identified it. They needed a go-to receiver, and they went and got Emmanuel Sanders, and he fit right in, and he's given their punch. And that defense is fantastic, as you said. I think those are the two best teams in the NFC.
The Niners?
Niners and the Saints.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
No, and in the AFC, I still think until somebody beats them, it's going to be the Patriots and the Ravens. I think the Ravens are the hot team and the best team right now. But I think come playoff time, we all know every time you count the Patriots out, they find a way to reinvent themselves. So I'll say it's those four teams.
Because I'm looking at, of all the 10-win teams based on strength of schedule, Seattle's had the third hardest schedule, and they're 10-2. San Francisco's 14th as far as strength of schedule. New England 15th as far as strength of schedule. New Orleans comes in at 19th. They haven't had a difficult schedule, but look at the division they're playing.
First place team, too, yeah.
Yeah, look at the division they play in. It's absolute garbage. It's crap. And that's why their strength of schedule isn't as difficult.
I mean, normally, because I say a first place team, because not this year. when you win it last year,
yeah,
your schedule's supposed to be more difficult.
But you can't help it that your division is garbage. You play them twice. Yep. So when you're getting to play what, the Bucks twice, the Panthers twice, and the Falcons twice? I will say this.
When we talk about
none of them have a winning record. The best record is 5-7. And that's Bucks and the Panthers.
And you're right.
At 5-7,
the Panthers
just fired their head coach.
Every time you sleep on the Seahawks, too, people say,
yep,
hey, they're not going anywhere. And don't sleep on the fact that if they win this division, and it is more than possible that they could win this division, but if they win the division, not the Niners, and the Niners, who could have a better record than any team they play in the wild card round, would have to go on the road and maybe play in Green Bay. In the weather.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good. Or play Dallas.
Yeah.
They're capable. But you know what? If you're the Niners, that's where you start going, get Adam Silver on the phone. Let's start talking about
the best wild card would get the winner of the East, though, right?
I think.
So the Niners probably
would go to Dallas.
Yeah.
Which they should win.
Advantage Niners.
Right, absolutely. Oh, as opposed even if to they going go and playing in the snow, right?
Well, even if they go and play in Philly and it's snowing, that's advantage Niners.
Should.
But the NFC East is a garbage conference this year.
It is. It's awful.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to roll on. There's some football for you. I did want to get, after the break, too, I want to get that Jerry Jones quote.
Just
for
to put a bow on it, of the there's only one 10-win team I didn't mention, the Ravens.
Yeah.
Toughest strength of schedule in the NFL through this week.
They keep doing it, and they still have to keep doing it.
It's crazy.
Because it's been tight lately for them. And
so maybe it is time to move Seattle up. Third hardest strength of schedule, and they're 10-2, and they just beat a good Minnesota team on Monday Night Football. Maybe you need to talk about them a little bit more.
Well, I'm trying.
All right,
we'll continue to roll on. It's hour 2, 3-hour show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. All you got to do is keep it right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hotter than the day is long. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I don't know, but I'm here.
What?
Okay. So
hot as the day is long? Is that your age is old?
No, it's not, Mr. Ugly Emoji Guy.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I earned that. I deserve that.
So to wrap up some football talk, not that we have to stop there, but we were talking about a lot of news in the NFL and the fact that, look, when you were looking at the firing squad of who may get it first in the NFL, Freddie Kitchens has come up. Jason Garrett continues to come up. But when you look at and you listen and you see what's going on in Dallas, it's a complete crap show. And we know that. And we don't, right?
Didn't Jerry Jones already come out and say that if they don't win the Super Bowl, he gone?
But then after the fact that, you know, he said that early on. Then after the New England game, they were outcoached. Their coaching staff was terrible. That started a whole firestorm. Then they lose to the Bills. And now he goes out, and again, this is why it takes just a very special individual to if he does get rid of Jason Garrett, to accept that job. Because of the fact that he meddles in everything. He's like Mark Cuban on steroids or Daniel Snyder.
I saw a funny headline from The Onion on Twitter that said, the Cowboys have released Jerry Jones.
Which a lot of their fan base would love.
That could
love.
Be the best thing for them.
So he said,
just be an owner
on his radio show, which again is a problem. The owner, general manager has a radio show. He's seen a list of rumored candidates to be the Cowboys coach next year. Quote, but they can't guarantee me or my fans a Super Bowl. He believes Garrett has the skill set to lead a team, but quote, in my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year. So what does that mean? You don't know if he's going to be coaching with you or not.
Yeah, that's weird.
But he'll be coaching next year. There were people that were speculating the Giants might move on from Shurmur and hire Jason Garrett. Why?
Yeah, I don't see that as being a good move.
This never-ending scenario, I really believe that at the start of the year, we were just talking about teams that you thought had a legit chance to go to the Super Bowl. talent-wise, looking at Dallas,
Cowboys.
How could you not? There was no doubt in my mind they were going to be one of the final four teams in the NFC at the start of the year, just because of the sheer talent on that roster. But don't tell. And I understand they underachieved in a lot of ways. But the soap opera that has been led by Jerry Jones has been one huge factor in what has been an underachieving, disappointing joke of a season for the Cowboys.
That's a good way to like describe what their season has been, because that's exactly what it is. And I'm with you that they felt like a playoff team because of talent and everything else. They've underachieved in a bad division. They should be running away with. They should be the Saints. They should have already clinched in that
You're
division.
Absolutely right.
And they've played down to their level of competition. They're wildly inconsistent, and a lot of that has to do with coaching. You're going to tell me all of a sudden that O-line is bad? You're going to tell me all of a sudden that Ezekiel Elliott is bad? That Dak Prescott isn't a decent quarterback at best? I mean, to me, a lot of their inability to win and be good is coaching related. It's not talent, right? I mean,
absolutely.
I don't feel like it's talent. I think that they have talent on both sides of the ball. I just don't think they have good coaching, and I don't think Jason Garrett is the guy. When you look at coaches, and look, I get it. Sometimes guys get to the Super Bowl, and you don't know that they're a Super Bowl caliber coach until they prove it. And a guy like Jason Garrett might stumble into a Super Bowl, but I think you've had a big enough sample size where you're like, just him with this team and these guys is not it.
No, it's not.
Not saying he couldn't lead another team to the Super Bowl, but this team and these guys and him and that combo, I don't think it's going to happen.
If you want to start with the line on both sides, it's way above average.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the front seven for that team, if there's anything you want to point a finger defensively, it would be their secondary, which has even gotten better. A year ago, they had a problem with their receiving core. What did they do? They brought in Randall Cobb. They traded for Amari Cooper. Everybody questioned that move at the time, including us. But look at it. It's worked out, and he has been really exactly what they needed. They went and they anteed up for Zeke. But with, you know, he's one of the better running backs in the league. You can't discount that. And Dak has not been bad. It's just that because it's a contract year, one week you got to pay him 40.
Yeah.
Next week he ain't even worth 23. But overall, it's just it starts that whole churning of the rumor mill and the soap opera and all the crap that takes away from them just concentrating on football. And one week their offensive coordinator is the best thing since sliced bread, and the next week he's overmatched.
Yeah. Well, we talked early in the season when they won three in a row. They beat the Giants, Redskins, and Dolphins, and we really didn't know a lot about those teams. I mean, we knew those teams, the Dolphins, weren't going to be good, obviously, and you really didn't think the Giants or Redskins were going to be all that good either. But it was like, all right, well, we're going to find out who the Cowboys are once they start playing good teams. And then they lost to the Saints and the Packers. They somehow managed to lose to the Jets, right? Then they get to play two more division games and win those. Lose to the Vikings, lose to the Patriots, lose to the Bills. They don't have wins, really, against any good teams.
Yeah, and
that's part of the problem is you're 6-6, and you're probably going to make the playoffs because you're in a bad division.
By default,
but
basically.
But they can't beat any good teams, right? I mean, it's going to take them, you know, getting a win against the Rams for people to even believe that they have a shot in the playoffs, because they've got the Bears, the Rams, the Eagles, and the Redskins left. They're going to finish with a winning record just because of who they play in those four games. But if they don't beat the Rams, good luck, because they have no shot in the playoffs, because they've proven that they can't beat any team that's worth their salt in the NFL.
No doubt. But the big knock on them is, look, they early in the year, remember, they got off to the start that they were supposed to get off to, but everybody was like, yeah, they didn't play anybody. So you look at it now and you go, okay, well, what really have they accomplished? And you're right. Here's the thing, though. Scarily enough, they have enough talent that if they do put it together, they can scare a lot of teams in the playoffs. Like you said, look, the Niners should be able to go in there and roll, but at home, in that environment, I could see the Cowboys giving anybody a game just on talent alone.
Guess who's averaging more yards in the passing game than the Cowboys in the NFL? Nobody. They are literally leading the NFL in passing yards at 432 yards a game, which that's Dak Prescott. That's Amari Cooper. You know, that's offensive line giving Dak time. They're averaging almost 26 points a game. This isn't a bad team. I feel like they're either playing down to their competition or they're making big mistakes against good teams. And a lot of that is coaching.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's not just Jason Garrett. Like I mentioned, Kellen Moore early in the year against bad teams when they were putting up big numbers and, like you said, and throwing the ball over the yard. Then Kellen Moore was just the shot in the arm they needed, a young offensive mind that's coming in and shaking it up. But guess what? Just to you, your point again, you look at what they've been doing passing-wise, but in a game in which in the first half, I think it was last week or the week before, where Zeke got off and had like 50 yards in the first quarter and a half, he touched it four more times the rest of the game. That's coaching. You're absolutely right. That's bad coaching.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out. I mean, they're going to back themselves into a playoff, and they'll probably get run real fast. So this could be the beginning of the end for Jason Garrett.
And here's the thing, too.
Which is going to be crazy. You think you win your division, obviously, going, you know, they'll probably go 7-9 and win the division.
You think so?
Yeah. They're 6-6 right now. No, I'm sorry.
I can see it being 8-8.
No, I'm sorry. They're going to win. They'll at least win two more games, which means 8-8, maybe 9-7. Yeah. I doubt that they lose three of those games because of who they play. I meant 9-7, not 7-9. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 8-8, 9-7, that's going to win the division and get them in the playoffs. And that shouldn't. That shouldn't be good enough to get you into the playoffs in the NFL. But because of the way they do it with the divisions, they're going to be in over teams with way better records.
I mean, the funny thing is we talked about how no one as a general manager would want to take the Texans job because the cupboard's bare draft pick-wise and you're strapped money-wise.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, how many people want to take the Cowboys job?
It's because of who the owner and the GM is.
Yeah, and the owner and the GM is the same guy, and his overbearing, meddling self is going to scare a lot of people off. Yep. If you're a Lincoln Riley and it's your first-time NFL gig, it might be the perfect gig for you. But it also might be to your detriment. As we said, be careful what your first job is. You might not get a second one, depending on how it goes. He is going to be a puppet for Jerry Jones.
That is true, and that's what they said about Jason Garrett. But, hey, you know what? He lasted a really long time with no results.
But if you're a good puppet, you can hang around.
That's what I'm saying.
See what I said there? You can hang around.
Oh,
you're a puppet.
My God. I hate you so much.
You know what I love? I love the people at Fitz Roofing, because if you've got roofing issues, maybe a leaky roof, you're thinking about putting a new roof on a house that you've owned for a while, well, there's only one place to go, and it's Fitz Roofing. They are locally owned and operated. They are a customer service focused business, and they are always focused on you. Unlike the sketchy storm chasers and deposit thieves that come in, say that they're a great roofing company, take your money up front, and then they never do the right job and they skip town. Fitz is here. They're in Houston, and they're dedicated to the people of Houston, so much so they created Fitz for Families. 10% of all their profits go back to the community through a nonprofit so that they can help people that have the need for a new roof that can't afford to pay for it. It's just fantastic the way they do business. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Why would you go anywhere else? Check them out online, FITZroofing.com, or better yet, give them a call, because that's the way to really do business. 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001. You get a free, no obligation inspection. Call them, tell them where you live and what you got. They come out, check it out, tell you what they can do. They go away. You want them to come back, just hit them back up. They'll be out there in a jiff, and they're going to take care of everything you need roofing wise. They just do fantastic work. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.